Okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and we did leave off. Let's pick up at verse 10. Since I think it won't hurt to go back a couple of verses. But last week, we were talking about Paul when he said that he was just a laborer with Apollos. And all those believers, all those ministers, that is, of the word, they are just workers and helpers together for the body's sake, to help the body grow. There's nothing special about the person in particular. It's the position that they have as a laborer. That's all of us. Did you know? I know you do know this, but this is like hypothetical. Did you know that you are just as much as a minister as the man who stands up in the pulpit on Sunday? Did you know that? So, like I said, God has no spectators. we come here and you think all the responsibility is entrusted to two or three people. Well, that's not the case. He will consider you just as much a workman as he considers the man that you see on TV. Did you know that? It's like if you hit the judgment seat and he'll say, "Well, what was your labor? What was the labor that you put forward?" And you'll say, "What labor?" And he said, "Did you not look at 2 Timothy? You know 2 Timothy. You can almost quote that 2 Timothy 2:15. Study to show
thyself.
What? Okay, let's go to 2 Timothy." So we've turned these verses into like mantras or like catchphrases, but we pick that and we just go with I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. We take those verses and we turn them into slogans. That's what it is. Not realizing that this is what God is asking you. 2 Timothy 2:15. He says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God,
a workman.
What do you think a workman does? He works. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." This is, by the time you get over to Timothy, he's already assuming that you know what the work is. Was it last week we were talking about John Mark, where John Mark didn't want to go to the work? Mm-hmm. It was the ministry. He didn't want to go out to minister with Paul and Barnabas again. He went not to the work. Now, Paul's saying here, he says, God wants you to be a workman. In 2 Corinthians, he says, we are what? Ambassadors in his stead. If the Lord was here physically, in his person, if he was here, he would be calling us all to go out to the work with him. But he couldn't be here, so he's saying that you are an ambassador in his stead, in his place. He couldn't be here today, so he sent me. I'm his representative. And he said, you're his representative. We're his representatives. From the least to the greatest, we're his representative. You said, "Well, I don't want to be representative." Guess what? Too bad, right? This is not something that, that's like the moment you get in, this is your title. It's not something you have to go to school for. It's not something you go to seminary for. The moment you believe, he says, you are now an ambassador. Didn't know that, huh? You thought it was me, didn't you? You thought it was somebody, or a guy with a collar on. You didn't, "Well, that's not me. I'm not an ambassador." Yeah, you're an ambassador. You know, an ambassador is a representative of a dignitary from a foreign country. Is heaven foreign enough for you? It says, but a lot of people, you know what? I guarantee you, if you ask some believers, says, what are you? Or who are you? I tell you what, we just came from a conference Saturday, and Pastor Watkins said this. This might shock you. He says, you know, Paul uses terminology for us. And we'll get to 1 Corinthians. He uses terminology for us. And one of the terms that he doesn't, what's one of the terms that Paul uses for us? Give me a term that, when you read Paul's epistles, give me a term that he used to identify us.
Body.
Yeah. Gentiles, okay.
Brethren?
Who said that? Brethren, yeah, okay. Brethren? Saints? Okay, we say that. Fellow laborers, laborers together. Fellow laborers.
I would say priest, but it doesn't sound, that's the wrong word.
No. I just used one.
Ambassadors.
Right? So we got saints.
Teachers.
We can't.
It's a word I'm thinking of, and I can't.
But that's good enough. We went through a lot of them. And the reason I said that is because this is a term that he doesn't use that we use all the time. Did you know that? He never uses that term. Never. You ever think about that? We use it all the time, don't we? Well, why doesn't he use that term?
I heard Les Feldick say one time that he doesn't like the word Christian because that means Christ-like and we're not, and he likes to use the word believer instead of Christian.
Yeah, or Christian is like if you are a a follower of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that was related to those people when they follow him on earth. They used the term Christian. And when they, in Acts, I believe it's Acts 11, he says, and they were first called Christians at Antioch. But when you go through there, you never hear Paul using that term to describe us.
Was it man-made, basically men coming up with a word?
Oh, they use it. They knew that when those people had been recipients of the gospel, they knew that something had happened over in Antioch.
Yeah.
What else could you call them? They could call them believers, but they said they were first called Christians. They recognized those people had a relationship. Mm-hmm. But by that being Paul's, that was in the beginning of his ministry. When he went over there to minister to them, the people named them Christians. Paul didn't name them Christians.
Yeah.
So we know we're body saints, we're Gentiles, the, like I said, brethren, ambassadors, laborers together, saints, but he never uses that term. The only reason I said that was because we were talking about being ambassadors, but I wouldn't argue that point. We say it sometimes, we use it by convenience. That goes to show you how you can do a thing and say a thing for years. And then when you finally put it to the Berean test, mm-hmm. You know, when you actually study it and you finally look at it, it says, why is that? And you can find out, wow, you know what? He never uses that.
Why not?
Because when you, as a follower of Christ, a Christian, that's a follower of Christ on his, in his earthly ministry. You know how people say, well, I want to be more Christ-like. You can be more Christ-like and not be following his earthly ministry. If you follow his earthly ministry and you want to be Christ-like, you're going to have to do some things that you might find impossible to do. Right, because he was under the law.
But really, when he was here on earth, Christians, because they followed him on earth, and you know, after that, you're not really considered that term.
Right.
Basically. Yeah.
Right, because you're not following Christ on earth. Paul said it. He says, follow me as I what?
Christ.
Follow Christ. He's giving me the information now. See, I tell you, give you that before we get back to this. One day, years ago. I just gotten saved, and I began to read, and I was reading in Matthew. I didn't know, you know, all the right division, all that. I was reading in Matthew, and it said this. It says, look at Matthew. I believe it was chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 38. I'm reading the Beatitudes. That's Jesus, right? That's what Jesus is laying down, the rules for the kingdom. So you want to do what the Lord say do? You got to go right for the gusto, right? I'm going for the red letters. That's Jesus. I know that's Jesus. I want to do this. So this is what I remember. He says, ye have, verse 38, ye have heard that it hath been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. Excuse me. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that will borrow of thee, turn not thou away. That's the verse right there. I was at lunch, and I was eating my lunch, and the guy came in, and he was, he said, let me have the other half of that sandwich. And I was like, this is my lunch, man. And he was like, okay. He said, you a Christian, right? And he used that on me. He said, if I asked you, you're supposed to give. And he took that. He showed me that verse. And that's what it said. And I was like, wow. So naturally, he got the sandwich. Because I want to be a good Christian. And that's what the Lord said, right? So I had to give my sandwich up. Not till years down the line, I'm realizing that, you know what? He wasn't even saying that to me. No matter how good it sounds, the principle, even the principle might be something good for you, but you can't put that on me for obedience.
So if someone asked you that now, what would you say?
I would tell him, I say, you know what, the deli is right down the street. If I didn't want to give it to him.
Yeah.
Because you have to, you know what, that's when he's giving a Sermon on the Mount, that you have to know that, you know what, that's not for me to put myself into obedience for that. And that's, I know you said, well, that's giving. That's being gracious. I know that. But you cannot put that on a person and say, see, the Lord said do this. Right.
Sometimes giving.
Hold on a second.
Yeah, yeah. I was maybe thinking about this gal who saw me on TV. I can't think of the guy's name. He had read the scripture where it says, if your eye causes you sin, pluck it out. If your hand causes you, cut it off. Then he turned around and told his congregation, well, it actually don't mean to actually do it.
Yeah. You know what? Well, why didn't he say what he meant? You know what? He meant it. He meant what he said.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah.
And that's where you have to start making excuses for the Lord. So, well, he didn't really mean that. Yeah. Like this, it says, if a man hate not his father or mother, he cannot be not my disciple. Now, and I'll say this, he don't mean like I hate you. That means you have to choose me over them. Mm-hmm. He says, well, let me go bury my father. And he says, let the dead bury the dead. He said, you got to follow me. You have to forsake all for me. Is that a requirement today? When he met the rich young ruler, he says, good master, what good thing must I do to inherit eternal life? He says, you know the commandments. And he began to list them. He said, I've done all that. And he says, okay, well, sell everything you have and follow me. Do you think he meant that?
Yeah.
Of course he meant that. That's why you find them, they had nothing. When they walked with him, they didn't have a purse. They didn't have two pair of shoes. They went, and he said this, the workman is worthy of his hire. He said, don't worry about none of that stuff. He said, the king is here, and the king will what? Take care of you. Mm-hmm. Now you go out like that. See that? You know what that is? You know what that is? Do you know what this is?
Your wallet.
It's my wallet.
Oh my gosh.
If I was back here, I couldn't have a wallet.
Yeah.
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 You wouldn't have anything.
I wouldn't, right? So you see where you can put yourself under there, and what you'll end up doing is saying, we're going to pick this, but not this. Or we'll pick this, but not this.
And it makes God's word look wrong, or like you said, you have to kind of justify
right.
What he's doing.
That's because the guy going to say, he says, well, he said, pluck your eye out. Do I really? No, no. He didn't mean that. Yeah, he did mean that to the people whom he was speaking to. So you can't take the gravity away from it just because you don't want to do it, mm-hmm. or because you can't do it. See, the different workmen had different requirements at different times. So Paul here, now let's go back to Corinthians. I don't get sidetracked. In Corinthians, he says, we are, in verse 9, we are laborers together with God. Now, if Paul was back there with them, what do you think he would be saying? He would be saying the same thing that Jesus is saying. Because he would be laboring together with Jesus. But over here, you have a different dispensation, different workmen with different regulations, different requirements. He says, we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Now, we did talk about the being the husbandry, right? And the building.
Yeah.
Do y'all remember that? The husbandry was the what? It's like you are God's field.
Like the building block.
And you're God's building. It's like it's God. God is doing work in us. He's performing something. There's a process going on in us, a building process, a cultivating process going on in us right now. Every time we get into this word, there's some type of some growth or even some preparation going on for more seed. Every time you look into that word, is some type of edification going on, or the opposite. Either somebody's building us up or what? Tearing us down in Christ. Either somebody's planting and watering, or somebody is putting weeds on us, I guess. The doctrine. He says, but we are workers, we are laborers together with God, we are God's husbandry. And he said this. Speaking of himself, verse 10, he says, according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. When Paul begins his ministry, he says, I've laid the foundation. When he goes into those cities and he preaches Christ, the foundation is them getting saved, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ and getting into the family. That's the beginning of the building process. And he lays down, he said, the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, think of yourself. Now, the foundation is Jesus Christ. We'll just say this is the foundation. Okay? And we know this is his death, burial, resurrection, and our faith in that. We believe that. Clean slate, isn't it? Paul laid the foundation. He goes in. The Corinthians are on this foundation. And they think about this. And when I say the Corinthians, you think of it even as us, where you are here on this foundation right now. We all trusted Christ, right? You're standing on the foundation. Firm foundation, right? Right? Like 1 Timothy says this, the Lord knoweth them that are his. He said the foundation, look at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy Second Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. He says somebody's workmen, matter of fact, he says verse 16, he says, shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness, and their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus. Here's two workmen. Who are two workmen who, he said this, who concerning the truth have what? 18. They have what? Erred, saying the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. He says, here's two laborers who are laying some bad material on you, on them at the time. And he says, and this is so bad, the information that they've given them is so bad that it did what? It overthrew them. It overthrew their faith. Now, you haven't got that, hopefully. None of us have gotten that far yet, where one day somebody will come along and they're going to say something that will overthrow your faith. Like, Jesus is just a man. Or Jesus is a fictional character. Or the Bible is just a compilation of stories written by man. Whatever it is, that some people, you hear those things and you know what? It just sweep you away. Sweep you off the what? Foundation. Off the foundation, which is Jesus Christ. But he said this, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And he goes on, he says, but in the great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth. Some to honor and some to what? Dishonor. Now he's using the materials there to describe people. He says, you got some gold vessels, some silver vessels, which are vessels of honor. And you got some wood vessels. And what was the other material? Some of wood and of earth. He says, those are vessels of what? Dishonor. He said, but the Lord knows them that are his. He said, and everyone that nameth the name of the Lord, he says, you get away from that stuff.
I always kind of took too, like the people who, you know, like just someone comes up and says Jesus was just a man, or they don't believe the Bible. I always just feel like that they're really not standing on that foundation. They might be leaning against it, or close, but they're not actually on it.
They're not on it, yeah. Yeah. But no, Lord, that's what he's saying about some people were on it. And they came, some people swept them off. Not saying they weren't saved. They were saying that the building process, your edification process, stopped.
Yeah. Yeah, I can answer that.
Yes, sir.
I just want to say what makes a person do this. It was on the foundation, they just stopped believing.
Lack of faith. Lack of faith, or shaken faith, like you said, overthrown faith. It's not what I'm telling you that's going to build you up. It's what you believe that's going to build you up. You have to, you know, I can talk for months. And if you're not taking this in as the word of God and believing it, if it's not being mixed with faith, it's not going to profit. That's how it works. You have to believe this is the word of God, and the things that we're reading is something that he's actually asking of you, not me just reading it.
That's why I like how you explain the Christians. It's because nowadays, when you're considered a Christian, that splits off into so many weird categories that it doesn't mean that anymore.
Right.
It just means...
That's the term, that's the inclusive term now. Mm-hmm. This is a Christian nation. Mm-hmm. And it's a label. It's just a label.
Right.
So, you know, it's hard to say when you say that, what do you mean?
It's like religion, like when people say I'm religious, it's like...
Okay. Right.
Or they're spiritual.
Right? Even that, you say, you know what, I'm not religious, I'm spiritual. Now, that has an umbrella to it. Like, what exactly do you mean?
Yeah.
You know, like the man I was telling you about, he's like, I'm spiritual. And he's trying to tap into some forces of the universe, something that he knows nothing about. So, but he says this. He says that for verse 10, he says, I've laid the foundation and another... buildeth thereon. Now, he says, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. Now, keeping in mind, I'm sorry, yeah, 1 Corinthians 3. Back, yeah, 3 and 10. So keep in mind that the foundation is Christ, and you are what's being built on, or built in. You, the individual, the saint, the believer. Is what's being built on is you. How many ever had work done at their house? And you see the person come in, and first thing you want to know when he comes in, what do you want to know when somebody does work on your house? You want to know what? Besides how much it is. You want to know what? Does he know what he's doing? That's the first thing you want to know. And you look at him and you want to see, is does he look professional? Does he have the right equipment? Because before he comes in here, I don't want him to come in here and mess up anything. And that's what Paul is saying. He says, look, a lot of guys are workers. He said, but I am the wise master builder. He says, I know what I'm doing. And when I laid the foundation, I know what I'm doing. I knew what I was doing when I laid the foundation. And the information I have to go by, I know that it's right. So anybody else who labors behind me or with me, let him take heed to what? How he builds on this foundation, which is right. And make sure he does the right building, because he's building in you. See, to Paul, our growth was important to him, because our growth was important to God. He says, we're workers together with God. He said, I'm not just doing this because I got tired of making tents. He says, I'm called for a reason. Do you know, for us, when we come here, do you know that God's ultimate end for you is for you to build somebody else up in the faith? All right, let me say it a different way. Did you know that God's aim for us is to equip ourselves enough to build the next person up so he could do the same thing? Know what?
Like, right.
When you get one rolling, you want it to keep going.
Yeah.
See, what you have to do, that's like you learn how to cook so you could teach your daughter how to cook. And she'll pay it forward, right, in a spiritual way. Paul said this, the things that thou have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. That's what he wants, because that way we all edify each other. And we grow, the body builds itself up in love. So it's important for you to get all you can get. It's important for me as a builder to build with the right material, to build the right way, so you could do what? The right way. See, if you don't know how to cook and you teach her, guess what? She'll know how to cook. So her husband will say, you know what? Let's go out to eat. You know what? My wife, she was saying, I'll give this example for my wife. When we first got married, and my mother-in-law was a good cook. She just didn't teach my wife how to cook. But when we first got married, everything my wife made had bell peppers in it. Everything. And you know, I'm not a picky guy, so we were eating, it's like, man, it was like pepper steak with bell peppers in it, rice with bell peppers, everything had bell peppers. So finally, I just, you know what, hey, I said,
what's up with the bell peppers?
Can we have something tomorrow with no bell peppers? And she's like, oh, she said, I didn't know you didn't like them. I was like, it's not that I don't like them, but I don't want them every day. But I said that because if there's a, Paul said this to the Ephesians. He said this. He said, when he gathered them together, he was getting ready to leave. He says, I have taught you publicly and from house to house. And look at Ephesians. Look at Acts 20. Acts chapter 20. Acts 20, verse 17. And from Miletus, Acts 20, 17. And from Miletus, he sent to Ephesus. And called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, you know, from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. testifying both also to the Jews and the Greeks, repentance towards God and faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 24. The Holy Ghost said, well, look at 20. We'll just keep reading. And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither I count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Look down at verse 31. He says, therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified. Now, I read all that to show you this. When Paul, when he got finished with the Ephesians, he could tell them, he says, I've given you everything that I know is good to build you up. He says, If I thought it would help you, I gave it to you. If I thought it would build you up, he says, I gave it to you. He says, you could not go and say that he held back something that he knew would help. Now, I relate that to my wife. She said, if she felt any way that the bell peppers were not good and tasty, then she would have switched up. But she's thinking, you know what? He loves bell peppers. I didn't say anything about it. But Paul's saying, I've given you everything to build you up. And you could, none of them could say that Paul didn't build them up. He didn't help them. None of them could say that. And how many of us could say that? Well, you rubbing shoulders with people every day, believers, non-believers, and you might know, you know what, you got something that can help them. And you say, well, I'll tell them next week. Or wait till the right time to tell them, which is maybe you're getting it together, you know. But do you know that you have something that can help him or help them, whether they want it or not? You can say, listen, you know why you have so many issues? Try this. He doesn't have to, but you know that it's what? Profitable. You know that it'll do what? Build him up. That's what he says, I shun not to declare. You know what declaration is?
Speak.
Speak, right. You know what Paul said? He said, pray for me. In Ephesians, he said, pray for me that for boldness, that I would speak the mystery of the gospel as I ought to speak. You know how hard it is to witness? Yeah, you know how hard it is to witness, don't you? Because you're like, what are they going to think about me? They're going to think I'm one of them religious Christians, one of them religious fanatics. And don't nobody believe in this anymore anyway. So you find all kind of excuses not to say something. But you know what? You holding back something that's profitable. It helped you, didn't it? Did it help you? It helps you, doesn't it?
Yeah.
So you know what? And I'm not saying that in our own time, we grow into that. But at least keep it in your forefront and in your mind is that this is part of being an ambassador. That's what he says. You know what? We ambassadors in Christ's stead, we beseech you in Christ's stead to be reconciled to God. He had made him to be sin for you. You know how many people that go around daily struggling with sin? Just sin. Forget the growth part. Just the fact that they don't even believe that they can be forgiven of some of the things that they get involved or are involved with. How many people you think are waiting to quit things before they get saved? Yeah, because they haven't heard the gospel of reconciliation yet. They haven't heard.
They've heard it. It's not necessarily that they.
Right.
Or like in some churches where, you know, they're trying to teach you to be good. So that kind of carries over to like, well, if I'm going to be good, I got to do this, this, this. So it takes away, you know.
And that's what I'm saying is, right, it takes, because that's not the material that he's talking about, laying. He said, be careful what. See, if God comes on and he builds on there what you just said, Blake, if he comes on and starts building in you, you got to do this, 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 this. That's a house of cards that he's building in you. He's not building solid Christian. He's not building Christ up in you. He's building you up in you, because you're trying to do all this on your own.
And you're bound to fall at one point.
And
you know what? You're not going to be able to stop doing something.
Look, if you built a house that had termite infested wood, how long do you think it would stand? Not long, because the wood is what?
Rotten.
It's rotten. So anything that you're trying to, if you're basing your salvation on you.
And it's always going to be something. You try to you get rid of this, then you look around here, something else. You get rid of that.
Why? Why? You know why? Because what you are rotten wood. If you build on this foundation, you. He said, it won't last. It won't abide. And that's the thing is, when Paul's talking about building, look at this verse. He says, back to 1 Corinthians. He says, according to the grace of God, which is given to, verse 10, given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, and another buildeth thereon. Building on the foundation. Who's on the foundation?
Everybody.
Who's on the foundation? She's, huh? What'd you say?
Us.
Don't say us. Say me.
Me.
I'm on the foundation. He says, now another man is building in you. Remember now, this you have to think of this as the same way as you call a contractor to your house. Any teacher that you sit under is the contractor. And this is the man that you say, yeah, come on in, do some work. You don't know what he's going to do. See, he might come in flashy. You know, we get entertainment. We get Christian entertainment now. So he looks like, oh, he's got to be good. And all of a sudden he comes in, he tells you all the stuff that he can do. And when he leaves, you say, what did he do? I don't see what he did. And you look around and it's, what? He had a bunch of stuff with him, but it looks the same as when he left. That's what we get into, you know, the music, the entertainment. And when you get through, you say, what did you learn?
The ritual. Just,
and you say, well,
I feel good.
I feel good. But you know what? That's going to go away. That's going to go away as soon as you get that bad news, or as soon as you get that bad feeling. All that good singing and, you know, the good chicken that we ate, all that stuff, that's gone. You're going to need some doctrine that's built up in you that's going to help you. So he says, he said this, "But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is." He said, now, if any man build upon this foundation, and he gives you some materials. What do you know about those materials? He says, what? He says, gold,
silver,
precious stones,
wood, hay and stubble,
right?
So what's confused? What's stubble? Stones.
Precious stones. All right.
What's stubble?
I
mean, in real life.
Now here's the. Yeah, well, here's a, he gives you how many? Three, four, five, six. Now, I'm just using that. And you know, a lot of things I don't say because it may throw some of the focus off, but the number six is always used for labor. So he's talking about laborers. He's talking about laborers with him, laborers together, and he's talking about laborers laboring on you. And he says, now these guys are laboring, so here's the proof of their labor. And it'll be manifested in one or two ways. He says, what do you know about this? Gold, silver, precious stones, they're all what?
Expensive, high quality.
Expensive, high quality.
Yeah,
they don't what?
They don't burn up easily.
They don't burn up easily? They don't burn up. They might change forms, but it still abides.
Yeah.
Because, you know what? Here's a word. That they all have intrinsic value. That means that, you know what? It's just by the very fact of it being gold, the value is already there in whatever form it's in.
Yeah.
It's gonna maintain its value. I don't care if you melt it down. I don't care if you chop it up. It's what? It's valuable. Wood, hay, stubble. Well, and what? Here's another thing about these elements too. Is what's the most valuable up there?
Gold.
Then?
Silver.
Then?
It's all in the order of how valuable it is.
There's, you know what? Does it have value in itself? And how much value does it have? Is it something that will abide? He's comparing this. He's using this for the labor. And it's, you know what it is? It's the doctrine that they're using. What doctrine are they using? Does it have any value in it? See, you think about this, you should be thinking what? You should be thinking heavenly doctrine. Who has the heavenly doctrine today? Paul. He said, now to him that's a power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the
Mystery.
He says, "This is if you use that, you're using what? You're using some heavenly material that has intrinsic value that won't, it won't be burned up. It'll abide." He said, "Or you can use this. What? Wood, hay, stubble. What do you know about these things? They're combustible. I guess you can use that combustible. What?
Earthly.
They're earthly. Combustible. I don't know. It's combustible. That's close enough. They're combustible. And they have very little value. This is the only word I can think of.
Is
that a word? Decayable?
Yeah.
It is tonight.
Biodegradable.
Yeah, you get the, yeah. So, and this. They're all what?
Dead.
Wood is what? It's a dead tree. Hay is what?
Grass.
Stubble.
That's all I'm asking you.
There it is. What is stubble? Do you ever, I know you have, like if they go through a field, these fields out here, and they chop up all this stuff,
yeah.
You know what's left? That's what's left.
Okay, so it's just like grass, picked grass pieces.
It's chopped up. It's already chopped up grass. They go through after they get all the crop out of those fields, and they grind all this stuff up. That's what's left.
Mulch.
Yeah.
I'll take the top.
You better take the top. That's what Paul, he said, look, you're going to have somebody laboring with, this is what the
foundation built with one or the other or a combination of them.
That's right. And this is being worked in you. Now, you may not even know that this is what the guy's coming with. He might come, if he's working, he comes to your house, and you thinking you're getting some quality material, and he comes in, and when he leaves, he said, yeah, they changed that thing, and it lasted 3 months.
Shoddy.
You know why? Because he gave you some bad material.
Mm-hmm.
So when we work, you know what? These believers get this doctrine, and we won't hear this too much, but they'll say, well, hey man, how you doing? I haven't seen you in a long time. You still going to church? Yeah, I used to be saved. He got some of that. He got some, because if he knew what he got, he can say,
still am.
I'm still saved. Whatever the situation was, that maybe he didn't go to that place. I remember a long time ago, I was standing on my sister's porch, and her friend came out, and I began to talk to her about Christ. And she said, I don't want to talk about that church stuff. And I'm like, what you mean? So church stuff? I mean, we on the porch. I didn't mention church yet. I'm talking about Jesus Christ. And she says, you know what? I don't deal with church because the church folks is a bunch of hypocrites. And I said, well, why you say that? She said, because they always talk about what they don't do. And she said, I'm the same people that be at the club with me. So I'm saying, so if you got saved, then you would be one of those hypocrites, right? I mean, if you trusted Christ and you knew that you got saved, you would be one of those, right?
Mm-hmm.
And she said, well, no. I said, well, you going to stop going to the club, like, immediately? No. She said, okay, I see what you're saying. I said, good. Because you can't base what they do. You can't let that be dictate what you do. Because this is free. And you can have it. I said, that's why it's important for us when we start to grow is, you know what, learn how to. That's why I said our responsibility is to learn how to build.
Yeah.
And then build that in the next person. Because I could go to the club right now. Y'all hear me?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can we go to the club?
You wouldn't look right at the club.
I wouldn't look right at the club. But I could go there and just be just as saved as I'd be the savedest person in there.
You know what's crazy?
What's crazy?
In Detroit, I buy classes on Wednesdays. And people used to judge me because we have a dance called like ballroom. Yeah. So they used to have ballroom lessons right after the Bible class on the same day on the same street on Telegraph. So I used to go to Bible class every Wednesday. But I would leave Bible class, I would go to ballroom lessons. So when I tell people, I'd be like, they're like, you leaving Bible class on ballroom? I'd be like, some people don't go at all. You know what I'm saying? I could not go to Bible class and
right,
just go. You
right.
know what I'm saying? That don't mean I have to engage in whatever they're doing. I come out of a step or two, you know what I'm saying? That don't take me from not being saved. You know what I mean?
Right. See, listen. And that's... The thing is, first, is to get on the foundation. And then, you know what? When a person... You know what's... And her ballroom dancing is not going to send her to hell. It's not going to move her off this foundation. If she wanted to stop, that would be her decision. So you know what would make her stop is this. One or two things. She get tired of that. Or if her friends say, you know what, I can see that that's damaging to them. If they were unbelievers and she was trying to witness to them, if they saw that as a stumbling block, or if it was other believers and they saw it as a stumbling block, mm-hmm. she would say, you know, if she was mature enough to say, oh, I need to help them, she says, you know what, I'm going to find another place where they dance that's not on Wednesday. Or where they don't see me. Because I don't want them to stumble over me. Right. So, and like Paul said this, he said, look, he says, I can eat meat. I can eat anything I want to eat. He said, but if meat makes my brother to offend, he says, I will eat no meat. You know what he said? I will eat no meat. You know how long? As the world standeth forever. He says, if that's going to bother, if that's going to interfere with the process, he says, I won't eat meat, period. That's a man that's mature and convicted. Now, what we'll say is, you know I can eat meat. You better get with the program. You're not going to stop me from eating my meat. I know I can eat meat. I'm free. That's what we do. I'm free. I'm saved. I'm a meat eater. You can eat meat too. Just because you don't eat meat, don't make me not eat meat. That's what we do.
Yeah.
Because you know why? We're not up there yet. But when you start thinking as a mature believer,
how you're affecting other people,
you say, you know what?
It's also like the truth, like
don't
it seems like 1-3 is more like you said, heavenly, or like Paul, and 4-6 is like Old Testament.
It's right. This you know, look, this spiritual.
The law.
This yeah. is spiritual.
Grace
this God. Fleshly. Spiritual material, fleshly, heavenly material, earthly material, valuable, invaluable. This will abide. This won't abide.
But like the law and stuff get mixed in to me really easily with 4-6 because like you said, the dancing thing, it's one of those things where it's like, you know, like you go to a certain church and they're like, no, you can't have dancing, you can't have you know, like growing up in Church of Christ, it's like you can't have like any kind of music. You have to sing.
Right.
And as soon as they get home, they probably be music probably be loud one on the block.
Yeah, and you're just like, it makes no sense why there's these little rules. And it's like, that's the kind of wood and stubble that gets thrown in.
That's what it is. You know what? You know what regulations do for people? It brings out it makes you want to do it more. Mm-hmm. I was just watching something there where this man had kidnapped his daughters and he made them join a Mennonite society. They don't have TV, they don't have modern technology, they don't have running water. They don't have cell phones, they don't have TV, they don't have any modern conveniences at all. And these girls were teenagers. So finally they got them back. And they got them back to, you know, to the United States. And they began to, you know what, they began to listen to music. Mm-hmm. They saw TV.
That went crazy.
And you know what? They said, well, do you want to go back? They said, no. Because now it was kept from them for so long, they want to just gobble it all up. Mm-hmm. Now, suppose they had went to this place. You know what? It was a pseudo-false spirituality that they were getting. Because just because you put a hat on and a robe on, and don't do this and don't do that, doesn't mean that you're spiritual. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean you're a mature spiritually.
You still got that old man.
It just, right.
You're just more ignorant.
Right.
You got the blinders on.
Underneath all that.
Still you.
It's, yeah. and as soon as you see it. So what happens is this. When Paul said this, he said, when he says you're free, where in Corinthians, he told the Corinthians, he says, all things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful, but all things edify not. He says, all things, I can do this. He said, but I won't be brought under the power of any. And the trouble is, what we do is we get free and we think it's free to indulge. We don't think it's free to serve. But what gets you there is growing up. And that gets you there by whomever is putting the right doctrine in you, the worker. So we're going to have to stop there. We'll pick it up verse 13 next week.